And one thing about filling in, I've said that to our preacher here, is that when you fill in, everybody still loves you. And they just think you're a good old boy and you're helping us out. And that's okay. I'm willing to do that from time to time. This lesson will be entitled Reaping What We Sow. Now, the one passage of scripture I always like to look at is the Bible tells us in the Old Testament how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We've been attending here, me and Janice, since 1983, and we know everybody here, and we love everyone, every single one of you, with all our heart and soul. And, you know, we do reap what we sow. You know, Solomon had it all, supposedly. He had it all. And when it was all said and done, you know, because he tried it all. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he tried wine. He had adulterous marriages. It was rampant, the things that took place that took him away from God. But when it was all said and done, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, he says, let's conclude it all. Let's sum it all up, all my life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's it all about? Fear God and keep his commandments, which is the whole of man, the whole duty of man. King James used the word duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give account of the things done to his body, whether it be good or evil. Well, none of us are going to escape this appointment that God has made for mankind. There's going to be a day of reckoning. For those who have lived righteous, they're going to enter into to heaven eventually. And those who have done evil will lose their soul to a devil's hell. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed with heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. We will reap what we sow. Israel, the divided kingdom, you know, Rehoboam took two tribes and Jeroboam took 10 tribes to Samaria. I mean, that's when the divided kingdom took place. And the Assyrians come in and it took them 3 years, but the Assyrians took care of Samaria. And 722, then you have Judah, which they remained in power probably 100 years longer because they had some good kings. Asia, Josiah. There's several good kings, probably four or five good kings of Judah. But the judgment that would take place on Judah would still have to take place. And during the time of Jeremiah, before he was even born in his mother's womb, God had made him a prophet for Judah. 626, 20 years before. Then in 606, Nebuchadnezzar. Then Daniel comes into picture. Ezekiel comes into picture. We'll read a little bit of Ezekiel in a moment. It took a number of years. It was like 606 to 597 to 586. But this captivity would only last exactly 70 years. And you had several, there were 19 kings in the under Judah. It was 19 kings under Israel. But they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. He was the weeping prophet. They wouldn't listen to him. And even though Jeremiah ended up in a miry pit, and where they had to finally bring him up and give him ropes so he could hold on, he was in miry clay in a terrible situation. He continued to preach the truth. The false prophets continued saying, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to come in here. The Babylonians are not going to come in here and destroy you. They kept on saying, yes, they will. And you need to go with them. Don't fight against them. If you do, you're going to die by the sword or pestilence, disease, all that, famine that was going to take place, all that in warfare. And Zedekiah is one of them that he met with Nebuchadnezzar before all this was taking place, and Nebuchadnezzar, they made a treaty. And of course, Zedekiah was I call him a spineless coward, because that's exactly what he was, one of the kings of Judah. And Zedekiah wouldn't listen, and he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He rebelled against him. But he paid the ultimate price. He thought, well, I'll just go to Egypt. Egypt will help me. And Egypt did come at one time, but they didn't come all the way. And then the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, they left and they came back. It's because God's vengeance was going to be taking place upon Judah. They would be destroyed by the Babylonians. It always tickled me. The Assyrians came into picture, and there was 46 defense cities of Judea, and Samaria. The Assyrians come in and destroy them. And then they came to the wall of Jerusalem. And then they just thought, well, we'll just take Jerusalem. God says, no, it's not going to happen. And 185,000 of the Assyrians were destroyed, and the king fled, and his sons end up killing him. God said the Babylonians are going to take care of Judah in that time period. And he did. Now look at Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11 through 14. It says, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and the pestilence. That's always amazing, even during the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 by Titus, the general of the Roman army. They would use all the trees they could find, and they'd build forts around Jerusalem, and they'd starve them out. They didn't have no water, they didn't have no food supply and all that. And that's where the disease and all that took place. So it was an easy prey. Of course, the Jews, they fought. They fought and fought with the Romans. But they were defeated with the sword and with the pestilence, the disease that took place, and the famine. Women ate their own kids and all that. It was just a terrible event. During the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70, a million Jews died during that time. And 97,000 were led in captivity. What an amazing story of what God says he's going to do. He did. Now, but he says, he that is afar off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth as besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord. Verse 13, that chapter. When their slain men shall be among their idols and about their altars upon every high hill and all the tops of the mountains and of every green tree and under every thick goat, oak, the place where they did offer sweet sacrifice to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Nepab and all the inhabitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And I forgot to say about Zedekiah. Zedekiah thought, well, I'll wait the last minute and I'll escape. I'll escape through the wall. And they always had escapes. And he would escape through the wall and from the Babylonians. But then when he finally got there, and his people, his army, and he took off, the Babylonians chased him and brought him back. And it's always amazing too how they did things, because they definitely did it for the people. He brought all the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and killed them all. And then he put out Zedekiah's eyes, and which Jeremiah prophesied was going to happen. And put out his eyes and put him in chain. Now, man had something, and I looked it up, and when it uses chain, it used the word hook, H-O-O-K. And Van brought it out, and I never thought of that concerning how they did it. They would string them up like fish, the captives, and lead them with feathers, whatever, and lead them to their, to that time, Zedekiah went to Babylon. And he stayed there and remained in prison until he died. Now, I think Zedekiah would have said, I wish I'd have listened to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was pleading, but they listened to the false prophets. It's the same thing today. I don't know how far I'm going to get, folks. I haven't even started man production yet. But anyway, there's consequences and of sin and warnings, okay? God told Ezekiel, and he says, pound your fists and stamp your feet. Let Israel know that I mean business. Rebellion will be punished. Sometimes, we think other countries are adulterous countries, and they are. But this country is adulterous too. We got an adulterous, this is a idolatrous country, okay? People have left God and need to come back to God before it's eternally too late, okay? The Bible affirms this from the beginning to end. Man will reap what he has sowed. Galatians chapter 6, you know these passages, verse 7 and 8. What a man sows, he will reap. We're not getting away with nothing. See, folks, the Old Testament and the animal sacrifices through the ages, it's hard to say how many hundreds of thousands of animals were sacrificed. But when it's all said and done, what God wants, what he wanted all from the very beginning, even during the Mosaical period of history, the patriarchal period of history, he wanted people's hearts right with God. He wanted their heart. He wanted them to give their heart to God. That's what God wants. And when it's all said and done, that's what he's going to look for. His heart. You could attend all your service. You could do everything. But if you haven't given your whole heart to God, you may miss it all. And we miss heaven, we missed it all. And how much we need and desperately need God. And that's why I don't care how old you are, how young you are, we need to have the humility that we may know a little bit, but how much we need God and how much we depend on God. And that no matter who we are, just like the Apostle Peter, just read about him. And you say, wow, he was just a man, but he was weak. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you, Lord. But when it was all said and done, he denied our Lord. Because he realized how weak he was and how frail he was. We are too. And without God, we are nothing. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, you know, I was thinking about Achan in Joshua chapter 6. And that's basically the theme of that chapter. You know, he thought he was getting away from something. And, you know, he took these spoils that he didn't supposed to take and all that. And because he was covetous, and it was the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And he hit him. And they went from tribe, and they finally found. The whole essence of that chapter is your sins will find you out. Okay? Be sure your sins will find you out. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8 says, he that sows iniquity shall reap vanity. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Sowing and reaping is true physically and spiritually. Now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Talking about the different soils and the hearts. The four soils and the four hearts. That's what it's all about. And every one of us are a part of that. We all have one of them hearts. But he said in verse 24, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest will I say to the reapers, gather thee together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and to burn them, and to gather the wheat into my barns. The harvest. There's going to be a day of reckoning of harvest that's going to take place. Of all mankind, nobody will escape. Every tongue shall confess Jesus as Lord. Nobody will be exempt from that. It will take place just as God says. In Galatians chapter 6, it talks about, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we choose to walk the pathway of the flesh, we will reap its harvest. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap everlasting life. There are a lot of people who have the fleshly part right. They will appear righteous to a man, but end where they are dead man's bones. In other words, that's the idea with the woes in Matthew chapter 23. He was pronouncing to the Pharisees and Sadducees of what they were. They showed outward appearance, but inwardly they were rotten. Same thing as Christians today, we can exemplify the same spirit. Do we really have the spirit of Christ, or we are like the fleshly Israel? Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Then the word of the God spread, and a number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to faith." The only way the church can grow is to sow the word of God. The more we sow, the greater the possibilities. If we do not sow, we will not reap. It's a cultivating effect. Everywhere you go, everything you say has to be in perspective of what God wants. We need to walk in the spirit, not the flesh. Walk by faith. And that's what it's all about. There's no crystal ball in reaching the lost. It's a challenging event, but we still must continue to try to plant the seed of the gospel. Okay? That's what it's all about. You think about the Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. And Moses, I'll choose this passage. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, verse 25 says, "Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." He could have. He was under favor. He could have. He could have stayed in Egypt. He could have enjoyed being under the Pharaoh and never had to worry about anything. But he'd rather, he chose the right path, okay, to follow God. It was more important than the pleasures of sin that only last for a little while. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11 says, he says, "Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set into them to do evil." Now the whole thing is, sometimes we think, well, and it's the same thing during the time of the Israelites, well, everything is really going well in Jerusalem. Economically, everything's great. Our military is strong. Everything is great. I don't care what these prophets are saying. It's not going to happen. A lot of times it didn't happen for a number of years. And we get the idea that what the Bible says is not going to come true. But it is. Okay? It just doesn't happen as quickly as people think it might be. Can man escape? I'm skipping a lot of stuff, and that's okay. Can man escape the consequence of his sin? Okay? What is sin? It's breaking the laws of God. It's lawlessness. Okay? And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But there is a recompense, for the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Now Ezekiel was a prophet, of course, at that time, during the Babylonian captivity. And he was a prophet to be a watchman and to warn people. And that's what we are to do too. We are to warn. We can't make people to obey. We can ask them. We can invite them. But we can't make them to obey. We cannot make them to accept the gospel of Christ and be saved. We can't. If that's possible, we would, but we can't. I'll give you one example and then we're going to close. But he says, "But we do not escape all of the consequences. A young boy on night of graduation went out with the boys to have a big celebration, got drunk and killed three people in an auto accident. Can he be forgiven? Yes, if he turns to God for it. but not the memory of what he did for the rest of his life. But what if he has to go to prison for a period of time? You reap what you sow. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, and we were poor as dirt, and we're still poor. But one of the families, rich, one of the wealthiest families, they were farmers, and they had a big mansion, and they had three children, two sons and a daughter. And they gave them kids, when they were 16, they gave them everything. They were filthy rich, gave them new cars, and they all were just so wild. And two of the three, and I remember I worked in a paint store and a shoe department, and they sold Levi jeans and all that way back there. And she came in one time, and her mom had to help her in. She had had an automobile accident and had brain damage. Beautiful. Oh, gorgeous girl. Gorgeous. She was a blonde. And all several years they brought her in. And but she went out and got drunk. See, sometimes we have to pay for consequences. And the son did the same thing. Had a bad automobile accident, was crippled, and had medical problems the rest of his life. Sometimes we do pay for what we do, and there are consequences. Just like, you go out and, just sow my wild oats, and you get a prostitute. I didn't say it right, probably. That's okay. And you engage in sex, and you get AIDS. And then you go through that agonizing event, and you die. Now, God will, if you come before God and obey the gospel, you can still be saved, but you're still going to pay the consequences of your sin through AIDS and die sometimes a horrible death. Anyway, may we all see the seriousness of sin and the danger of it. There are consequences with all these. If there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, who has not, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that faith will lead us to confess Jesus, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to repent of your sins, to turn away from your sins, and to be baptized, to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. If you have not done that, and you need the prayers of the church, or you need to obey the gospel, is your opportunity while we stand and sing.